Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Pat.
Now, we all know how important it is to keep our teeth clean and make sure we have regular dental checkups. But this is particularly important as we get older, isn't it? Because I've heard you refer many times to the problems of gum disease. Now, what causes gum disease and what can be the result?
Well, Pat, you're quite right. Gum disease is a very common condition, which we see every day in practice these days. The gums become sore and swollen and can become infected. In most cases, the cause of it is poor oral hygiene. In other words, not being able to clean your teeth very well. And it's the body's reaction to the bacteria and the film that they form on the teeth that is, in most cases, the cause of gum disease. It can be exacerbated by smoking, by some medical conditions, such as diabetes. It can also be, if you like, exaggerated if you've got a weakened immune system. But if you come in regularly for dental checkups, if you see a hygienist fairly regularly, if your dentist is on top of the situation, then it shouldn't be a problem. Most people have a little bit of gum disease. We all have a little bit of bleeding when we brush our teeth very occasionally, which could be technically termed as gum disease. But about 10 or 15% of the population, adult population, can go on and get a more significant type of gum disease, which can cause tooth loss. And it's those patients that really need to be identified and seen to regularly with maintenance and regular checkups and treatment by the hygienist.
Okay. Now, even as we get older, our teeth can still suffer from decay. What is your advice to avoid developing cavities as we get older, or even, say, losing fillings that we'd already had?
Well, mercifully, decay becomes less of a problem as you get older. Certainly in the years from sort of 25 onwards to 65, decay becomes less of an issue. But it's the same mantra. It's reducing sugary drinks and foods, especially the frequency of intake of these sugary drinks and foods. It's having a good process of oral hygiene with good brushing, perhaps using an electric toothbrush, interdental cleaning. And of course, regular checkups with a dentist and perhaps hygienist visits. As regards losing existing fillings and crowns, well, simply avoiding foodstuffs that can pull and cause damage to the teeth is very useful. So I always say to patients, you know, please don't eat toffees because they're not really good for fillings or crowns. So that's a way of reducing the number of times you're going to have a lost filling.
Yeah, I have to say, I always try and avoid sort of hard toffees. Now, again, as we get older, our teeth can develop more serious problems that may necessitate more advanced dental work, such as a root canal treatment. Now, for those listening who've never had a root canal treatment, what exactly is that?
Well, root canal treatment is quite a common procedure that we carry out in general practice, and it's when the decay in the tooth or potentially overfilling over the years has caused the nerve to die. The nerve is housed within a sort of a series of chambers and cavities within the centre of the tooth. And when the nerve dies, bacteria can get into those chambers and cause a dental abscess. So root canal treatment simply involves the cleaning and shaping and filling of the root canals, which are deep within the tooth structure. It always strikes fear and terror into most patients, but actually nowadays with advanced local anaesthetics and good practice, you know, we can do it pretty well without patients suffering too much. I wouldn't suggest it's a particularly pleasant procedure, but it's certainly nothing to be worried about. And it means you keep the tooth, and that's so important these days. By cleaning and shaping and filling the root canals, we really simply deprive the bacteria of a chance to get inside the tooth, if you like, and track down and cause problems around the base of the tooth, which of course is what causes a dental abscess. So that's what root canal treatment is, and it's perfectly routine these days for most practitioners to carry out, and it means you keep your tooth.
And that, of course, is the most important thing. We all want to keep our teeth. Now, occasionally a tooth can split. I know that because it has happened to me. Now, is that the end of the road for that tooth?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. If a tooth splits through the middle, then there's nothing you can do. Occasionally a tooth will split Or a fragment of the tooth will break off. Now, that isn't the tooth splitting. That's just really a fractured tooth, which is eminently restorable. But if the tooth splits down the middle, you've had it. The tooth has got to come out, I'm afraid. No other treatment can be provided.
It's gone. Okay, so looking at that particular scenario, if the worst happens and a patient requires some teeth to be extracted, what are the options these days in terms of false teeth?
Well, there are really three mainstays of false teeth, Pat, with respect to filling gaps made way for, if you like, by extractions. Of course, dentures is one of them. Historically, that's what we always did. I don't think dentures are really most people's first choice because they generally are fairly ill-fitting. They collect food debris underneath. They're often a little unstable, and one has to take them out at night and clean them, and it's all a bit of a palaver. But I'm afraid that is still the option that really is the only option for a lot of patients because their mouth won't allow the other alternatives, which of course are bridges and implants. A bridge is where one can use teeth either side of a gap to anchor a false tooth into the gap so that it's fixed rigidly in that gap, held in place by the other two teeth. There are various ways of doing this, but one of the drawbacks with bridge work is the fact that we often involve damaging teeth either side to enable us to hang a false tooth onto that tooth. That makes sense. And that, of course, means that that tooth isn't as good as it was. So we try and avoid damaging teeth where possible. And this is where implants really come in. And this is the third option. And this is really the brave new world of dentistry where we actually replace a tooth by putting a titanium screw into the socket where the tooth used to be, and the bone and the tissues will grow into that titanium implant, and that's why they're made of titanium, and that's unfortunately why they're very expensive, and it will integrate with the screw, and it will become really very, very solid and very well supported, and then you can use that screw, if you like, to then anchor a false tooth, a crown, or in some cases a bridge. And it really is the way forward because it's fixed in your mouth. It doesn't involve using other teeth that could stress or damage them. And patients find them really very, very good and often well worth the investment, which I'm afraid it often is.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realise that if you had, say, one implant, then you could actually, if you've had, say, two or three teeth removed in one part of your jaw, you could then actually use an implant to anchor a bridge.
Yes, you can. You can use an implant, a single implant, to actually replace two teeth. You can actually cantilever an extra tooth off the implant as well as the tooth that sits on the implant. Or alternatively, you can actually use two implants a distance apart and use both of those as anchors for a bridge. What you can't really do is use a tooth on one side and an implant on the other of a gap that you can then anchor teeth between. You have to have implant to implant or tooth to tooth. But one thing that we are doing a lot now is where patients have lost most or all of their, say, upper teeth or lower teeth, and the implants can be used, say, four implants can be used as a superstructure on which a denture can be actually attached. And the denture then is screwed onto the implants, and the denture then doesn't have to come out and be cleaned, and it doesn't form a great bulk of plastic in the mouth. So this is another possibility for patients who have lost many teeth.
Yeah, okay, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Now, dental checkups are also important because they can detect if there is anything serious developing. Now, although this is very rare, I know that, it is a way of catching, for example, an oral malignancy. And we always want to catch those kind of things early. So that's probably one of the other reasons, but it's why it's really important to go to your dentist on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Oral cancer is on the increase. Fortunately, it's a very, very, has a low incidence. It only forms mouth or head and neck cancer, only forms, I think, about 1 or 2% of all cancers in the UK. And at the moment, it's running at the frequency of about 18 cases per 100,000 people. So it's pretty rare from that point of view, but you know, it's easily treatable. If you get in and see a dentist and he spots something that doesn't look quite right, it's eminently treatable, rather than leaving it and leaving it and leaving it, and then unfortunately it becomes much more difficult to treat. So I would always say to patients, yeah, you know, part and parcel of a regular checkup program is for the dentist not just to look at the teeth, but to look at all the tissues around. And if anyone's had an ulcer in their mouth for more than a week or two that doesn't seem to be healing up, I would urge them to get a dentist to look at it. Not their GP. I would urge you to go and see a dentist. They're trained to look for this sort of thing and spot things and refer you on very quickly if that is the case.
Well, that's very, very good advice. Now, talking of advice, what would you say, just summing up what we've been talking about really, to keep our teeth for as long as possible and to avoid the need for false teeth or dentures, just can you sum up what you would say to people, this is the best way to keep your teeth as long as possible?
Yeah, I think we've got a few key points that we can get across to patients, and I think they're all very well known, which is avoiding sugary foods and sugary drinks, drinks and fizzy drinks being a particular problem these days. Brushing your teeth twice a day, not more than that. You know, you don't need to brush your teeth four times a day. Twice a day is quite sufficient if you spend long enough with a good quality electric brush. Which again are not that expensive these days. They often have small heads, which is a good thing, and the bristles are a medium bristle, so they're not really hard or really soft. We've strayed a little way away from flossing now to emphasize perhaps using interdental brushes. Flossing is still useful, but if you can get patients to use little interdental brushes on a daily basis, that really makes a big difference as well. And again, that's something your dentist would show you and provide. And of course, regular checkups with the dentist and visits to the hygienist as prescribed by him. And I think if you follow all these you know, fairly basic rules, then you should be okay. Unfortunately, some poor souls do suffer with a huge susceptibility to dental decay and gum disease. And in those patients, even regular checkups and doing everything right can be difficult for them to stop getting problems. But the vast majority of patients, if they stick to those rules and regulations, they won't go too far wrong.
Well, that's great. Thank you ever so much, Mike, for talking to me today and all that great advice about how to keep our teeth as long as possible.
It's a great pleasure, Pat.